And here we are at the last segment of our hour, an attitude adjustment here on EAA Radio, the voice of EAA. And we've got another guest in the studio with us. Surprise, surprise. We're kind of making a habit of that.
Oh, we're quick switch. Quick switch phenom.
Can't say that too quickly, though. Richard Hogan, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. Richard is an aviation enthusiast, which all pilots should be, aircraft builder and designer, president of EAA Chapter 1415 in Woodstock, Georgia. Aircraft projects for over 20 years, so you've been involved with some stuff.
Got a lot of good friends, and we've had an awful lot of fun.
And you you used to be the CFO for ISES Corporation?
But yes.
Now you're working on the Innovator aircraft and the Commuter craft, which you're here to tell us a little bit about, I understand.
That's what I understand as well. Thank you.
Well, that's good that we're all on the same page.
That's good.
So tell us a little bit about the Commuter craft.
Well, the Commuter craft was a vision that we had, a group of us in the EAA chapter, have always talked about what we could do to help build aviation. And we wanted to create something exciting. Some of us have had our ambitions of building our own airplanes and making something that will really change. We all want to change the world, right? So that was the concept. Make a better airplane. Make it safe. Make it really something that brings people into aviation that maybe not have been on the fence. So we didn't want it to be confused with a 172. We wanted it to be something new. And we thought, well, how can we do that? So we made a three-surface aircraft that's two-place. And built some safety features into it that maybe just haven't put that combination quite together before, and feel like we've managed to accomplish that.
Yeah, you've got some very interesting safety things that you've been working on. You say it's a stall and spin resistant configuration. What'd you do to make it that way?
When we first started designing the aircraft, we started with a canard platform because of the stall resistant characteristics inherent to that design. I was not able to come up with the good low-speed handling characteristics I wanted, and that's when we added the horizontal tail and made it a three-surface design. So that was kind of the progression. It gave us the good low-speed handling characteristics, yet retained that stall-resistant feature so that we can make it a safe plane.
Now, it's a pusher also, right?
That is correct. It is a pusher, and it is. We call it a multi-vehicle platform because it's really capable of working in both a wide range of power settings, so we can use small engines, make it light sport, or we can make a high-performance cruising aircraft out of the same airframe. We also designed it to meet multiple missions by changing certain configurations where it can carry more baggage or equipment, things of that nature.
Now, you are not a diminutive size kind of guy, which I'm trying to say this in a politically correct way, and it has the one of the wider cockpits out there.
Well, thank you. And that was a very important part of this. A friend of mine and I used to go to come here and go to Sun and Fun and other events, and we would essentially try on other aircraft. And typically the cockpit would not close because his head would be sticking out, or between the two of us, I like Mike, but we aren't that good of friends. we needed a little extra elbow room. And the other thing that I've heard over and over from people is that when someone that is looking at an airplane that maybe hasn't flown general aviation is that they say, oh, it's so tiny inside. So we took a platform that essentially creates a 60-inch wide cockpit because, again, if we're going to attract new people into the sport, we need something they feel comfortable in.
Well, you even put cup holders in there. I'm quite impressed.
Absolutely. We're just trying to make sure that we don't put any coffee in front of the radio stack so we don't create any problems, but absolutely.
You know, and through all this, one of the big things with general aviation that we've been hearing people talk about, and certainly I'm no exception to this, is the affordability of a lot of this new technology. And this has got a competitive price point.
Absolutely. We felt like that was imperative. It is an experimental amateur-built aircraft, so the person that would build one of these has to meet the 51% rule. But we feel through that effort, we wanted to simplify aircraft as much as possible and make the cost affordable for people.
Yeah, and How have you we're at, again, the bottom of the week. We've been discussing how we're approaching the weekend. So you've had a few people through and people checking out what you've got. So and how has the response been? How's the show been going for you?
It's been absolutely incredible. We have had more. We're going to run out of brochures, I think, before the weekend's out.
That's a good problem to have.
Yes.
Well, you brought an innovative kind of simulator. You're really trying to get people to understand what it's going to be like to fly that, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Part of our concern was is that if you're trying to take people for rides in aircraft, there's a very small number of people that could actually have that experience. We took a full-size aircraft, basically took the fuselage, built a cockpit in it, built a simulator in it, so they can experience not only what it's like to fly that aircraft, but also what the interior is like, because we do think that's a major issue. And so they can get in there, we adjust our cockpit is set up to where we can adjust the headset or the headrest and the rudder pedals so that they fit a person from 5'2 to 6'4 and yet keep their eyes at the same level so they have the same picture looking out the window.
Which is nice when you don't fit that average standard.
Absolutely. So. And what is average?
What is average? God, what a wonderful
apparently
question.
It's 5'10", but I have yet to meet the perfect model of everything standard.
That's so true. Now, let's talk about buildability, because you want to kit this, right? You want to put it out as a kit.
Absolutely. It will be a kit. And that has been a major part of our development process. The key thing that we've tried to develop in our kit is that it will be assembly, not fabrication, to the greatest degree possible. It's a composite aircraft. So the bond lines are very expensive, are very important. You've got to get those right. The jigging, the amount of pressure in those joints is very important. So what we're planning to do is have, at least for the first 2 years, have people come in and do that in a builder assist situation in our jigs. Basically, they come in and build the airplane. While they're doing that, we can get them some transition training in an aircraft and make this a very positive experience. We think it's important for their insurance, we think it's important for their safety, and also to make sure that we put a good spin on what we're doing.
Well, it's a proven tech for Lance Air's done it, and Glass Air has done it. There's no reason why you couldn't do that as well, and still meet the 51% rule without any problems at all.
We feel like that's very important, and when you're starting a new business, some areas you're innovating in, some you're choosing best practices, and we admire the companies that have done that in front of us.
Now, we've talked a little bit about the capability, and we've talked about the buildability, and we've talked about the affordability, but I understand also that this is a very green effort, so we've got some environmental attention, for lack of a better word. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. I think that one of the things that we felt like was very important is that we create something that first off is from the standpoint of the fuel consumption and efficiency, to make that very efficient. And we also built some characteristics that will be coming out in future models that will be essentially give you some features that are not available now to essentially cut down on the amount of fuel for the last mile.
And that's an important thing these days, both on the wallet as well as the environment.
Absolutely.
Which engine are you going to use? I know you've talked about a couple of different possibilities, but which one? I know you're getting close to a prototype, and you want to tell us about that?
Sure. Ship one is close to flying. Naturally, our point is that we'll fly when we're ready, rather than trying to set a date. But it will be fairly soon. We've got the engine in. We have the instruments breadboarded and sitting waiting for their installation we get back. But the engine that we chose for ship one is 185 horse, essentially a 320 that's been stroked of 340. It's similar engine what they put in the Carbon Cubs. Those have been very good performers for them. New airframe, got to have a proven engine. So that was our philosophy. The other thing is that we're trying to make initial engine selections or help our clients with how to do that in such a way that they have a platform that the insurance companies will be happy with. We want proven designs in that engine.
Well, you're doing a lot of things on the safety side to make the insurance companies happy. You've got the composite, carbon fiber composite construction. You've got airbags. Is that an option as well?
That will be an option. There'll be seatbelt type airbags so that they basically come out from the chest rather than coming at you.
And it's a cool looking airplane. It's got that technological, futuristic sort of look to it.
Mel, anything that doesn't have the engine directly in front of people your size and my size is very cool.
Yeah, no,
I remember
you are right
the first
about
time
that.
I flew a twin, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can see. I don't need pillows.
I'm not a short woman, and yet I've still had to use a booster cushion when flying some of those older model aircraft. So yes,
absolutely,
you are absolutely right about that. So where can people find you here on the field? Where are you located if they want to come check this out and try it for themselves?
Well, we are in lot 93. We're near the front main gate, just down towards the Fly Mart, and so we're pretty easy to find if you just take a right when you come into the field. And we're a couple hundred feet down on the left.
Over by the campsite there.
Absolutely, yep. On the way to the campsite. We also have Ship 1 parked out in front of the home builder's hangar. And so it's something that people might want to stop by and take a look at.
And for those folks that haven't had the fortune to join us at AirVenture here in Oshkosh this year, where can they go to find some? It's a fantastic website. Where can they go to find some information about this?
Thank you. The website is commutercraft.com, all one word. And we've been adding to the website quite a bit lately. So we'll be keeping people posted on the developments.
Great.
Terrific. Will you be taking deposits here at the show?
We will, but we are being very careful about that. We are not here as much to sell as we are to educate, and next year we'll work towards that. We expect to start production about this time next year for the general public. We have a couple of Alpha Builder ships that we'll be building in the meantime.
It's a good progression. You should understand what you're buying before you buy it.
Absolutely.
So, Richard Hogan with Commuter Craft here talking about with their Innovator Simulator and their new aircraft. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
You are listening to EAA Radio.